Okay, what a blessing to be here again and to focus on the Lord. And I'd like for us to sing again a song here by heart, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. We'll just sing the first verse. I'm going to read it first and then we'll sing it. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. You know, it says, I think it's in the book of Acts, it says that Jesus went about doing good. And now God is calling us to go about and do good. Do what thou wouldst do. Paul also says that we are supposed to overcome evil with what? With good, right? Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do.
Father, we just thank you for this prayer. We look to you.
Thank you that you do breathe on us again with that breath of life, and that you do bring us back into a state of being alive in Christ. And we just pray that you'd be with us tonight as we look into the scriptures and as we look into your plan for our life, your purpose for our life, that we can really understand and embrace your ways. We just pray for your Spirit to be here and to draw us to yourself and to teach us, and we could walk in your ways. Thank you for being so good to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so first we want to finish our lesson from yesterday on what was the lesson? What must I do to be saved? And we didn't finish talking about the Holy Spirit. When do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? After we did all these things, after we talked about repentance, and we talked about faith, and we talked about baptism, and we talked about calling on the name of the Lord, you know, when does the gift of the Holy Spirit come? You know, and so let's turn, by the way, those who weren't here the first night, I'll just explain again what these handouts are for. So on the handouts that you're going to be getting here soon, ushers, I need your help, hand these out. Yes, go ahead and hand these out. These handouts, though, are for the lesson that we'll begin in a few minutes. First, we need to finish our lesson from yesterday. But the purpose of these handouts is so that you have the references in front of you so you can turn to them quickly, and also so that you can write something on those lines. Whether it's a word or a phrase beside each reference to help you remember what we were talking about. So later you can review it, and just so that it sticks in your mind even here as we are going through this lesson. So go ahead and take your handouts for today. But first we're going to finish yesterday's lesson. And I've got here a verse that you can turn to, Acts chapter 5. Our question is, when do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? So we're looking here at Acts chapter 5. I'm not sure this one is on your notes. 5 verse 32. And it tells us here something about when we receive the Holy Spirit. That was a question that really bothered me as a young person. whether I have the Holy Spirit, and mostly it bothered me before I got born again. I had a lot of lack of assurance before I got born again, which probably there's probably a reason for that, right? And so in Acts 5, verse 32, it says Paul is speaking to the Sanhedrin here, right? And he says, "We, the apostles, are witnesses to these things, that God raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to God's to his right hand. We are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is also bearing witness of the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. How was he doing that? Well, through the miracle that just occurred, right? So the Holy Spirit is also witness, whom God has given to whom? To whom does God give the Holy Spirit? To those who obey him. Yeah, exactly. Now, so what are the, when a person wants to turn to Christ and is coveting the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power, the divine nature, what do they need to obey? They certainly need to obey God, but what do they need to obey God in? What commands did God give for a beginner? Okay, believing, yes. Repenting. Come on. Getting baptized. What else? Calling on the name of the Lord. Well, if you obey him, you'll get the Holy Spirit, right? He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So once you start obeying him, then he starts giving you the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. There's a story in the Bible, though, that doesn't match up with what I just got saying. Do you remember? Here's a box. I brought this box here. Now, what do you think? If I put the Holy Spirit into this box and brought it to you, do you think if I opened it, the Holy Spirit would still be in there? Do you think you can put the Holy Spirit in a box? No, you can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. And God always has the freedom to work how he wishes. He does, especially with the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, this is the protocol, what we just got done saying. Let's read again the protocol in Acts chapter 2. Verse 38, it says very clearly, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But wait, what about Cornelius? What happened to Cornelius? Now, look, let me read to you. This is just bonus here. It's not on our page. Acts chapter, where is it here? Chapter 10 and verse 43. Peter's giving his sermon, kind of got caught off guard a little bit there, wasn't sure what he was getting into, right? In Cornelius' house, Cornelius and all his relatives are there. They knew Peter is coming because of the vision and all that. They knew Peter's coming to give us the word of God. So Cornelius was already in a position of receiving the word of God, right? He had already made up his mind he's going to believe, right? He wasn't checking it out to see maybe, maybe not. No, he was already determined. The question was, what must I do to be saved, really? And so Peter's just kind of giving a real quick explanation of what the gospel is, and he ends with these words, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." And bam, the Holy Spirit falls on to Cornelius and everyone that's in that room. Everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how did that happen? They weren't baptized yet. They didn't call on the name of the Lord. Where's repentance? Well, When you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are repenting, right? You're making him your Lord. You're turning your back on the devil and on the world. So he was repenting in a sense, but he didn't say a sinner's prayer. He didn't call on the name of the Lord. He didn't get baptized. And here he's got the Holy Spirit. And the circumcised people, the Jews that were with Peter, they were astonished. Like, whoa. Mostly because they were Gentiles and they were getting the Holy Spirit. And they thought only the Jews can, right? And so, and then Peter says, well, if they already got the Holy Spirit, then why? We don't need to do any more checking here. We just get them baptized right now. And so they got baptized after they got the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. Right? Their hearts were so open that as soon as that seed fell in, it just germinated in their hearts. And their hearts were wide open to God. And God filled it. See, baptism itself is just an expression of faith. God is looking for that faith, for that heart to follow him, to receive him. Oh, and he'll fill it. God is faithful to give the Holy Spirit to those who repent and believe and are baptized and are calling on the name of the Lord. God is faithful to give the gift of the Holy Spirit, that divine nature, to them. It's us that are hindering the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, feelings gets us in a lot of trouble. One of the reasons I think that I didn't get born again sooner was because I was looking for those feelings. I was looking for those feelings to be a sign that I got born again. I was looking for those feelings. And like I was saying, I got on my knees, I prayed the prayer, I did everything, and I didn't have any feelings. Right? But I heard all these testimonies, all these stories. I wanted to have a story. I wanted to have an experience with the Lord. And it was when I gave that up and I said, you know what? I don't care about having an experience. I just want to get saved. I just want to follow the Lord. That's when I had my experience. When I gave that up and I was like, you know what? I don't have to feel anything. I just want to get saved. I just want my sins to be forgiven. Then I did have an experience. That night I laid in bed and I was like, wow, the presence of God. Yeah, I knew I was saved. It was like, this was real. But I wasn't seeking after those feelings. I was seeking to follow the Lord, and the feelings caught up with me. Now, okay, so you gave your heart to the Lord, but when does that Holy Spirit come? And I think sometimes we ask the wrong question. Sometimes we ask, do I have the Holy Spirit? Do I have evidence that I have the Holy Spirit? Why not ask for the Holy Spirit, right? That's what Jesus said. He said, ask and you'll receive. Ask and you'll receive. If you've followed the criteria that God gave to repent and believe and get baptized and call on the name of the Lord, then you are totally eligible to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait another day. You can just get on your knees and say, Lord, you said you would give me the Holy Spirit, and I'm ready for it now. I want it. Have you ever done that? We need to do that regularly. I do. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, right? Throughout our life, fill me with the Holy Spirit today, right? Not just when I'm getting ready to preach a sermon, but you need the Holy Spirit when you go to work. You need the Holy Spirit, right? To overcome temptation, you need the Holy Spirit to in everything in life. When life is really busy, that's a good time to ask for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, right? So that you can respond correctly to the people around you. You know, Jesus is the one that is knocking on our door. He wants in. The Holy Spirit is ready to move in to our life. And if we could see our hearts as houses, let's say we just had a whole row of houses, and one house was John Carnegie, and one house was Lauren Carnegie, and the next house was Brother Dale, and so on and so on, all these houses, and you would walk down this road and you would see, here's all these houses. Well, now, Jesus is inside of that one. The Holy Spirit is there, dining, supping with John. Next house, yep, Jesus is in there too. Keep going down, and then you see that couple of houses there. Jesus is on the porch. He wasn't let in. Yeah, you're talking to him through the keyhole. He's knocking. I'll be ready tomorrow. But you're not opening the door. Why not open the door? Right? Open the door. Let him in. The Holy Spirit, it says, to know that you have the Holy Spirit, here's the question you need to ask yourself. Am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Not am I feeling like I have some fuzzy feelings. You know, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we don't necessarily need to feel something. But sooner or later, you are going to sense, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, you will sense a power within you that is greater than yourself. And a joy that is from above. And a peace that is from God. Yeah. And that's a sign that you are growing in the Spirit. Now, Jesse, you were going to help me here with this little illustration I was going to make. Where's Jesse? Here we go. Okay. So the Spirit leads us. Go ahead. So I'm going to represent right now a person that is resisting the Spirit. Okay? So go ahead and get started. And what am I doing? I'm resisting. I'm not willing to go with the Spirit. I'm not being led by the Spirit. I'm being drawn by the Spirit. I'm not being led, right? And that reminds us of people who, they hear the gospel. You don't even need to feel, but you heard the gospel. That was another opportunity for you to yield to God's tug on your heart. Now, the more you resist, the more that you resist, there can come a point where God drops that rope. And that's really scary. When you feel that tug, it's time to be led, not to resist. Because that's a gift. It's a gift from God. When you hear the gospel, that's an opportunity to yield to the tug. So let's try this again now. Go ahead. Start pulling on me. I'm going to just yield. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Now I'm being led. I'm being led by the Spirit. You know, as soon as we are, go a little faster. I'm ready to follow here. Yeah. Thank you. So, appreciate it. The more we yield, the quicker we yield, the more he can lead us in the ways of the divine nature. Yeah, it's a little like this. God wants to fill you with his Spirit. And as soon as you begin to yield, he starts pouring. Now, some people, they're like, wait a minute, I don't want too much of that. Why not? Oh, you want more? Just ask. Ask, Lord, I want. I yield everything. It's when he gives his Spirit to those who what? Huh? Ask for it and? Obey him. Yes. As you yield to God, right? As you yield to God, he starts pouring in. You want it faster? Yield faster. Right? I thought about this at one point in my younger years. I was like, you know what? If I want to become the most spiritual person in the world, all I have to do is to yield to every tug that God ever gives me and never resist, and I'll become the most spiritual person in the world. Now, I'm not claiming to be that most spiritual person in the world, but it all of a sudden occurred to me, you know what? I can fast forward this process. I don't have to take years and years to reach that level of spirituality that I'm desiring, right? So God is faithful. That gift is for you. But you do need to take it. You do need to yield to him. You do need to ask for it. You do need to desire it. And when that gift, that becomes a reality in your heart, you will sense the power of God in your life. You know, you'll realize, you know, I'm resisting temptation. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm sensing his presence. I'm walking in love. I'm loving my wife. I'm loving my children. I'm being patient with all men. And it's not because I'm naturally a patient person or I'm not worrying. God is giving that power not to worry. By the way, I'm the type of person that can worry. And that was one of my besetting sins, to worry. To worry and worry and worry. And I realized that's just a sin that I need to repent of. And God gives us the power to not worry and instead to trust. Okay, we need to move on now so instead of asking yourself, do I have the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself, am I being led by the Spirit? If the answer is yes, then you have the Holy Spirit. And if you want more of it, then ask Him for more. And you will receive. God is faithful. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open to you. Often it's Jesus is knocking instead of us knocking. Okay, so let's move on now into our next lesson. And that is lesson number 3. This is exciting. Meditating day and night. And we already had the verse read a little bit ago. So if you have your handouts, it should say at the top, lesson 3, meditating day and night. And we're going to start by reading in Ephesians chapter 6. All right, this is another one of my favorite passages. Every Christian needs to memorize chapter 6, especially verses 10 to 18. A must, in my opinion. And we're going to read, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, you're saved? You were born again? Guess what? The day you were saved, you're also enlisted into the army. Ever been enlisted into the army? I was summoned to serve. And it wasn't easy to get out. You know what? You're not getting out. If you're saved, you're either in or you're out. And if you want to be in Christ, then you're in the army. Okay? You are enlisted in the army of Christ. And you have a definite enemy and a definite battle to fight. But you've got the divine nature now. Right? And you've got armor. And you need to be a very disciplined person to use that armor. And that's what we're going to start talking about here. Let's read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, when you see the Bible repeating itself, you see that it kind of repeated itself, what was that, 4 times. Paul mentioned, that means that Paul is trying to emphasize this. We've got an enemy out there. You really need this armor, okay? You really do. So it's like, okay, give it to me. I need it. I trust you. I need this armor. Therefore, take up the whole armor, not just part of it. You need every piece. There are 7 pieces here. All right? If you've ever met a victorious Christian, they're a Christian that wears these 7 pieces and use them all the time. That's what you'll meet. So this it's really important to get a handle on this. This is one of my passions in life. Is to help people be overcomers. And so I wrote this booklet recently, just got it printed quite recently, and I've got it on the back table there. I would love for each person to take that home and read it, because we're not going to go through everything that we need to that in this passage the rest of this week. We don't have enough time. And so pick up this book, and I'm going to be kind of referencing some of the details in here from here through Sunday. But there's more in here, and I would just love for everyone to go home with one of these copies. It warms my heart if I can encourage someone in their fight. And how I wish I had some of these simple truths when I started, when I got enlisted into the Army and understood them back then. It would have helped me a lot. Okay, so what's this armor all about? Okay, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's one. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's, we got three there. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What's that? With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You need that. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Yeah. So we're going to start. We're going to look at the, we're not going to go in the order that they're listed here. And we're not going to be able to tackle all of them in depth, but we do want to tackle this one, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And we're going to combine that with prayer. Those two really go together. So we're going to be kind of looking at both of those today. You know, some people think that when they get saved, then they're good. Can't lose their salvation. They're on the way to heaven. You know, they can just put in cruise. Don't need the armor of God. This is just if you want to be a little extra spiritual. But devil can beat you down. You're still going to heaven. Guess what? That is not what anybody in the Bible believed anywhere. Just take it for an example here in Romans chapter 8. Some people, and I'm not just talking about people out there. I'm talking about people that I know in our churches. They think, you know what? They think that they can go on in sin for a long period of time and still make it to heaven. They think that. It's just not, it's a lie. Okay, it's not the truth. And that lie will keep you from being an overcomer. Because you know what? You'll think to yourself, well, it doesn't really matter that much. Because I won't lose my salvation. But what does Paul believe? Let's look at Paul. And I don't have time to explain all the loopholes that come in here that people will make. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. Did you see that it's by the Spirit? It's not by the flesh. If you're trying to overcome the deeds of the body by yourself, you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. It's by the Spirit. If by the Spirit Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We are saved through God's grace, not our strength. It's through God's grace. But if you live according to the flesh and you don't employ the grace of God in your life, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to go back to that death, that death of and corruption that sin brings into the world. Now, where that line is, the Bible doesn't tell us. And it's probably a good thing it doesn't. Because if it did, people would come right up to that line and stay right there. God doesn't tell us where that line is. So better just not walk in the flesh. It doesn't tell us if you can walk 2 days in the flesh or 2 weeks in the flesh before you're cut off. It doesn't tell us. It just says, if you walk in the flesh, you will die. And there's a number of other places in the Bible that give us that warning. Think of James. Escaped my mind. James chapter 4. Look at that. James chapter 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. Look at this in verse 8. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. You need to repent of sin, not let it go and let it go and let it go. Okay, but that's not our subject tonight. Our subject tonight is the sword of the Spirit. Let's look at Psalm 1 again. Psalm 1. You want to grow in the Lord? Psalm 1 is talking about a born-again person, I believe. Psalm 1, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Wow. Now, some people just say, well, that's just impossible. So if it's impossible, we can't do it anyway. No. No, we're supposed to do it. We really are. What does it mean day and night? Does it mean that you're consciously thinking about the Bible every second of your life? I don't think that's what it actually means, but it does mean this. It means that you're thinking a lot. You're thinking a lot about the Word of God. It's in your mind a lot. It does mean that. I know it means, at least means that much. Okay, and that is something that we can do and are supposed to be doing. And a person who's delighting in the law of the Lord and is meditating in it day and night, what's going to happen to that person? He's going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That sounds like the kind of Christian I want to be, right? So I want to suggest here tonight, we're going to start with four disciplines, and then later we're going to talk about eight more. Lots of disciplines, remember? Soldiers are disciplined people. These disciplines are good for us. And now, some of these disciplines can be a little hard at first. You know, when you start exercising and you've been just sitting around and gaining weight and not really staying fit, and then you get out there and you start try to run a mile, it's going to be tough. But you know what? As you exercise yourself in these disciplines, they will become as natural as breathing air or drinking water when you're thirsty or eating food when it's lunchtime. It becomes natural. It becomes your default, right? So don't think, oh, disciplines, oh, no, now it's going to, oh, life is going to be so tough and rough. No, these things become the source of joy and you know, if we delight ourselves. Now, if you're just doing it because your dad told you you have to or something, you're not delighting in it. I don't know if this is going to turn out the way I was hoping. But so number one, morning prayer. What do you do when you wake up in the morning first thing? What do you do? What's the first thing you do? Well, think about that. Number two, we're going to talk about personal devotions. Personal devotions. And third, we're going to talk about constant prayer and meditation. Constant prayer and meditation. And then fourthly, we're going to talk about evening prayer. What's the last thing you do as you go to bed? Is it checking your messages on your phone? Rid yourself of that curse. Okay, disciplines. I want us to read about some disciplines in the Bible. Turn with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8. Here's a discipline. David had some disciplines. Here's something that he did, okay? Something he did not just, because he felt like doing it necessarily. but because he wanted to do it. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That sounds like a very conscious choice. I have set the Lord before me always. That sounds like discipline to me. Something David is doing. Now, what about the joy and the blessing that comes from it? Read the last verse in the psalm, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, there's the blessing that comes from walking a disciplined life with the Lord. So it's discipline, on the one hand, that becomes natural and then produces great blessing in your life. I think it's worth it to take the effort and get started. Let's get started. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 17 and verse 15. Imagine with me something for a minute. Imagine with me that, I don't know, an atomic bomb blows us up or something. I don't know what. Okay. And just like that, you're in heaven. Okay? You died and you're in heaven. And you open your eyes and you're in heaven. And you're born again. And you love the Lord. What's that going to be like? Ever thought about that? What's that going to be like? That's going to be amazing. Right? Now, some people, when they die, they find themselves in Sheol, in a place of torture and suffering. And they're like, what just happened to me? But when we wake up in heaven, right, when we're all of a sudden become conscious, it's like, wait, I'm not on planet Earth anymore. There's God. There. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? What that's going to feel like? Feel. You're going to have some feelings in heaven. I mean, it's like, and when you see God saying, come, you're my child, and you go, I don't know how you envision this. I don't know how it's going to exactly happen, but I imagine heaven being a place where we're very personal with God and where we come to God. It's like, Father, I'm home. I love you. And it's going to be just like you came home. And here's your Father that loves you. Here's Jesus Christ that died for you. And you're going to be, you know, when I come home, I expect when I come home, after having been gone for a few days, my wife is going to give me a big hug, and my children are going to hug me, and they're going to be so happy to see me. You don't think God is going to be happy to see you? After all he's done for you and me, he's going to be happy to see you. And you're going to be happy to see him. And you open your eyes and you're like, God is good. Now, do you think that God wants us to wait till we get to heaven to experience that? I think God wants us to experience that every day we open our eyes. Maybe not to the same degree as we'll experience it in heaven, but when you wake up in the morning, is a great time as you open your eyes, shut off that alarm clock if that is what woke you up, and start meditating on his goodness. You have another day to walk with the Lord and to experience his goodness all around you. His love, his peace, that divine nature, the Holy Spirit, another opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, another opportunity to learn to know him. You haven't even gotten to your Bible. You haven't reached your Bible yet. You may not have even opened your eyes yet. You may still be laying in bed. However, if you the kind that falls back asleep real quick, you probably should at least sit up. And spend some time worshiping the Lord. Let's see if this is biblical. All right? Wait, Psalms, we didn't read our verse. As for me, I think David is kind of alluding here to heaven. Jewish sages believe that David is talking here about the afterlife. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. What that's going to be like. Your likeness. Did you see that word there? Your likeness. We're going to be like God. We're in his likeness. in heaven perfectly. Well, this isn't the only place that talks about waking up somebody somewhere. Let's look at Psalms 139. These are all precious verses to me. 139, verse 17. He's had a long day. He's been meditating on the Lord and the goodness of God. And this is what he writes. How precious also are your thoughts to me. Maybe this is what he was thinking when he was going to bed. Oh God, we'll get to that too. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Now go start counting sand by the sea, or anywhere for that matter. And you'll learn a lot about how much God thinks about you. A lot of thoughts. It's a lot. It's really a lot. It's more than four a minute, or I can't remember somebody who said the number four. It's got to take more than that. When I awake, okay, so now he falls asleep, meditating on the goodness of God, and then he wakes up. When I awake, I'm still with you. God is still in the room. God doesn't leave you. He's waiting for you to wake up. Just like a little child that maybe goes to sleep, maybe wasn't feeling so good or something, and his mama was right there and put the child to sleep. And the child wakes up and the mother's still there. Now, my children don't get that privilege every day, but you do. Every day when you wake up, the Lord is still there. It's like, my child. Yeah, I'm here to walk with you again. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Here, look at Psalms 5:3. Let's see if David has any of this morning prayer stuff down. Let's see here. Psalms 5 and verse 3. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. When? In the morning. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Do you do that? You do that every morning. It's a good practice. I can't say that the Bible commands that you must do this every morning. I can't really see a verse, but boy, it looks like there's a real good emphasis on that, right? It's not like, oh, you didn't do that. Now God is... It's not really a command that you must pray in the morning. God wants you to pray out of your heart, right? He didn't say you have to pray five times a day. If you're walking with the Lord, you're going to pray a whole lot more than five times a day. I guarantee it. All right? But yeah, this is a good discipline. This is a good practice. This isn't like you must do this or you're going to hell or something like that. No. This is going to be really good. Every morning when you wake up, look up to God. Here, it doesn't have to be limited to prayer. Read Psalms 59 with me. Psalms 59, verse 16. 59 and verse 16. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. Amen. I want to tell you a little story. This is a true story. I just read it. Oh, I forgot to bring the book with me. The book is called The Insanity of God. I'm still reading. I'm not done reading the book yet. But I read this story in there, and it just touched my heart. I just loved it. I just read it a few days ago. It's a story about Dmitry. He's a Russian. And he's living during communism. Does anybody know this story? Raise your hand real high if you know it. Okay. All right. So I still get to tell it because not everybody knows it. Only a few. All right. So, you know, he's just a common person. But he loves the Lord. He's got some boys. He's got a family. And they're not allowed to go to church. Maybe twice a year they can go to church. It's really restricted. The restrictions are really there, strong. And finally, one day, he tells his wife, you know, maybe we should do something here at home. You know, and he feels very incapable of even having family devotions. It's a new idea to him. His wife is like, yes, let's do it. So once a week, they started gathering their boys and teaching them just whatever he knew from the Bible. Stories. I think they had a Bible, if I remember right. But anyway, they would tell him Bible stories. They started singing songs. Well, that got the neighbors' attention. The neighbors wanted to know what it was all about. When they heard it, they wanted to join too. And he was like, no, I don't know anything about... I'm not a pastor. I've not been trained. Like, they're like, so what? And so they come, and there's 20, and then there's 50, and then there's 100, and then there's 150, and pretty soon the house is packed, and people are listening in from the outside, and then the authorities get a hold of this, and like, whoa, what's going on here? And to make a long story short, they haul him off to prison. And he's in prison for 17 years. Straight. And the person interviewing Demetri asked him, so how did you make it? Was there anything you did in prison that helped you be an overcomer, in my words? He said, yeah, there were two things I did every day. The one thing I did was every morning I would get up and I would stand by my bed in prison with all the other prisoners there, and I would lift up my hands to heaven, to God, and I would sing a heart song. A song of worship to God every day. So the first time I did that, it was a riot. Everybody was laughing at me, jeering at me, throwing stuff at me, banging on stuff to make noise, to drown me out. But I persisted. And the next morning, I did it again. And again, jeers and curses. And he was determined. He's going to sing a song every morning out loud with his hands raised. So he did. The other thing he did was every time he found a little piece of paper, whether it was a small piece of paper or a big piece of paper, he would take it and he would find something. It usually wasn't a pen or a pencil. It was usually just some food and a stick that he used, and he would write all the verses in the Bible that he knew by heart on this piece of paper, even if it was a small piece of paper, or if it was a big piece of paper. He would fill it out all the verses or stories and songs, and he would put it on that paper, and he would tack it up here above his bed, and that was his offering to the Lord. And then at night, the guard would come, the jailer would come, and look at it and say, what's that? And he would tear it off the wall, and he would read it. Oh. And then Demetri would get a beating. And that went on for 17 years. And he'd find another piece of paper. He would search for something that you could write on. And the next chance he had, he would get that thing and he would start writing on it everything he could, tack it up there, his offering for the Lord, and wait for his beating. That's what he did. And after 17 years, they convinced him that he had, his family, his wife, his children had deserted the Lord, had deserted him. They were done with him. And he was so discouraged that he decided to give in and to buckle and to recant, to forsake Christ after 17 years. And he told the jailer, all right, just write it up. Whatever you want me to say, I'll sign my name. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I got to go find my family, my children, figure out what's going on with them. It was a very dark time for him. You think the Lord left him? You think the Lord just like, oh yeah, just drop him? Well, he wanted to be out. He said, okay, tomorrow we'll come. We'll write it up and you'll come and you'll sign it and you'll be out tomorrow. And he's like, yes, make sure you come. I'm going to be out of here by tomorrow. So that night he went to bed. And he was like, what have I done? What have I done? He was in distress. But the Holy Spirit saw it. And that night, his uncle had a strong sense in his heart that Demetri needed prayer. And he gathered his wife and his children who had been faithful throughout the 17 years, gathered together in his home and prayed for him. And while Demetri was in prison, God did a wondrous thing. Demetri heard their prayers. All of a sudden, he started hearing their prayers. And it so strengthened him that the next morning when they came and gave him the paper to sign, he was like, I'm not signing it. He's like, why? It's because God is with me. And they were so mad at him. And he was so excited that he was still walking with God. And he went out in the courtyard and guess what he found? He found this huge piece of paper just laying there, miraculously, with a pencil beside it. And he took it into his bed, and he filled the whole thing full of verses and songs and stories from the Bible, and he filled it, and he turned it over, and he filled the other side full. What was he doing? He was meditating on the Lord. And then he tacked it up. And he looked back and said, wow, now that's the biggest offering I've ever given the Lord. And when the jailer came that night, he was in big trouble. He was going to get a big beating tonight. A real big beating. And they drug him. The jailer drug him and beat him and pulled him through the prison. Just on the ground, just dragging him and beating him. And as the other prisoners saw what was happening, all of a sudden, they all stood at attention and saluted this brother in the Lord. And they lifted their hands to heaven and sang the song that he had sung every morning for 17 years. And they sung it. And when the jailer heard that, he was terrified and asked him, who are you? And Dimitri said, I'm one of God's children. And he sent him back to his bed, to his room, to his. And shortly after that, he was released. They didn't want him in there. Yeah. Now, I want us to get something. You know, if this works in prison, then it also works outside of prison, right? It does. A song for the Lord. Waking up in the morning and worshiping the Lord. That doesn't just work in prison. That also works outside of prison. Every morning. Do you do that? You should. You really should. If you want to be an overcomer. Spending time meditating on the Word. We're going to get to that. Time alone with God. Oh, we need to take a break. All right. So, we'll be back here in your seats at 10 till.